Mercy and peace be yours, abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I mentioned a little bit earlier, the text for our focus this morning is the second reading from today, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'd like to start off with a little bit of a story here. It was 1997 when musician Daniel Powder decided to try his hand at songwriting. Anybody know Daniel Powder as a songwriter? Okay, I'll tell you a little bit more, see if you can figure out who he is. Most of you will probably recognize him eventually. He had dropped out of college at the age of 20 because he wanted to play music, but he felt like there was more that he could do. In 2002, he had a melody running through his mind that he just couldn't shake. And at the point then, he just didn't have the lyrics in his mind. And in fact, everything that sort of started to come into his mind, he tried to fit to the text. And he said, if there's anything kind of happy or lively, it would really have made the song, in his own words, the cheesiest song of all time. And so kind of thinking of himself as a struggling musician, he decided to give the song a little bit more negative subject matter. Writing the lyrics in the course of a long ferry ride between Victoria and Vancouver, British Columbia, he wrote the lyrics to the song. He produced the song in 2002, pitched it to multiple record labels, and it was rejected by every single one. Disappointed, he returned to Vancouver to move on because, he said, once a record company says no, it's difficult to come around again. Now, I'm going to pause in the story right there, but you can probably already imagine that there's a happy ending that we'll get to. And I share only the beginning with you because I want to talk about this morning about how we love those rags-to-riches stories. You know, those stories where people are pulling themselves up by their bootstraps. We Americans, with our can-do attitude, hear how people have overcome the odds stacked against them to be victorious, to win the championship, to be successful. But I kind of wonder if we're honest with ourselves, as much as we like those stories, would we be willing to say, give up the riches in order to go to rags just so that we could get the riches again? I mean, would you be willing to say, no, the odds aren't stacked against me enough, I want them stacked up even higher to make my overcoming the odds that much more dramatic? I don't think any of us would do that, would we? As much as we love to see it in others, and as much as we rejoice when it has happened in our past, none of us would willingly, knowingly say, okay, Lord, I'm ready, stack the odds against me. Okay, Lord, take away all my wealth. Leave me with nothing just so that I can earn it all back again. None of us would do that, would we? We know that there's enough trouble. Jesus himself said it. He said, do not worry about tomorrow. He said, each day has enough trouble of its own. And yet, as I look back at my life for all the problems and challenges of bad days, God has truly blessed me. In fact, I dare say he has blessed all of us, hasn't he? With grace-filled lives. And the slide's supposed to come up there. There. Is it there? All right, we're good. For those who are interested, there are some sermon notes in the back inside cover that you can fill in as we go along, if you care to do so. There are also some questions that you can take home through the week to kind of bring the sermon home with you throughout the week. Otherwise, just sit and listen. But as I say, as I look back on my life, I dare say there God has blessed me with a grace-filled life, and I'm pretty confident that he has also blessed you with a grace-filled life. And I know, we look at what I'll call biblical bootstrappers, biblical overcomers, people like Moses and Noah and Joseph and Ruth, Apostle Paul. We look at these people and we see the incredible blessings that they experience in their lives, many of them even performing miracles, and we think to ourselves, now, if that would happen in my life, well, I'd be set for life. If I could perform a miracle, oh, I'd be good. If only I could have a life like that, huh? Then everything would be set. When you think about all those cool spiritual things that happen, all those miracles and all those great things that happen, you kind of think to yourself, well, you can kind of understand why Paul would boast. But then take a closer look at those lives worth boasting about, and you start to realize that we really wouldn't want to do what they did, go through what they did, to experience and do what they did. We wouldn't willingly go from riches to rags. We wouldn't want to stack the odds against ourselves. And while there are plenty of examples in Scripture, just look at our reading for today, our text from the Apostle Paul. Paul is considered the greatest of the apostles. He's a performer of miracles. But look at his list of tough days. He says, I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods, and once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? All I can say is yikes. All of a sudden, my life looks pretty good, doesn't it? I would imagine yours does too. You know, Daniel Powder, going back to our original story, he was dealing with his disappointment after being rejected by so many, and he recalled from some advice from his grandfather. He said, my granddad used to say to me, there's better people who are worse off than you. And I always remember that. Have you ever said something like that? Maybe heard people say something like that? I hear it all the time. They try to find some comfort in saying, well, at least my life isn't as bad as somebody else's. Now, I don't know if that gives you a whole lot of comfort. And I realize that as we looked at the list of Paul's life, we kind of did that a little bit and said, well, at least my life isn't as bad as Paul's, right? But understand why Paul shares that list. He's not saying to you, hey, buddy, your life could be as bad as mine, so chin up. No, that's not his point here, because that doesn't actually make anyone feel better. If you look at his reason for giving his list for his boasting, you need to look at why he's boasting. He talks about boasting about his weakness. And he's doing it for a purpose. Regardless of what life brings, Paul's boasting, my boasting, your boasting, is not about what we have overcome, but what Christ has overcome for you. This isn't about pointing to, oh, look at all the things that I've been through. No, we things to realize that in our weakness, we most clearly see God at work in our lives. Because our sins, our failures, cannot be overcome by our bootstraps, no matter how hard we try. Overcome the odds of our struggles, our challenges on our own is not just a statistical impossibility like one in a trillion. No, they are truly and eternally impossible, with the only outcome of our own efforts leading to eternal destruction in hell. Because we'll fail every time. This is why God has blessed us with his only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is what Jesus has overcome. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he also, elsewhere in the book, says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. He went from riches to rags, so that we could go from rags to riches. It's Jesus whose boots crushed Satan's head. And it's under Jesus' feet which the Father has put everything. It is Jesus who stands in opposition to whatever odds there may be, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Victory assured through Christ. And with all of that, by grace through faith, how can we possibly have a bad day, huh? And yet they come, those bad days, and we question why. And we focus on the odds stacked against us and the weakness of our bootstraps. But consider what Paul says at the end of our text. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weaknesses. And why? Because you see, God allows the bad days, the struggles, the challenges, the heartaches, to reveal who you and I are in him. One author puts it this way. He says, take a grain of sand. And if that grain of sand gets into your eye as an irritant, what happens? Your eye waters. And if that grain of sand remains, then there's an infection. And if you don't take care of the infection in the grain of sand, eventually you'll lose your eye, right? But now take that same grain of sand and put it into an oyster. The grain of sand in the oyster is an irritant which causes concretion and eventually results in what? A pearl, right? Now, does that pearl happen because of the grain of sand? If it was because of the grain of sand, every time we got a grain of sand in our eye, we'd expect a pearl to pop out. That is decidedly not what happens, right? You don't want that. So the grain of sand is the irritant, but it's not the cause of what happens. What it does is it reveals the inner property of the eye and the inner property of the oyster. These crosses that Jesus calls on bear, these trials, these challenges, these heartaches, they aren't the cause of anything good in and of themselves. Rather, they are the opportunity that God uses to reveal his inner properties in you. Again, Paul says, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. And why? Because just as the good Lord told the Apostle Paul in the midst of struggle, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Indeed, we share in Christ's suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. For our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Eventually, Daniel Powder found himself a new producer, and he tried again with the song. That producer shared a copy, a recording of that song with Warner Brothers Records. He ended up securing a contract in 2003, and from there, the song climbed to the top of the charts, first in Europe, and then became a triple platinum-selling song in the U.S., hitting the top of Billboard's Top 100 in February of 2006. Since then, it's won numerous awards, been performed across the globe. Powder himself has described it, that it has become everyone's song, not his, and ultimately probably gained its highest prominence as the elimination theme song from Fox's talent show, America's American Idol. Anybody know what it is? It's the song Bad Day. It goes a little something like this. I can't sing it quite like he can, but you had a bad day, you're taking one down, you sing a sad song just to turn it around. Anybody recognize it? Yeah. It's one of those things that you look at the song itself and you realize that with the struggle that's behind it, all of a sudden you realize that's a little bit more meaningful. But it's interesting to me that as you look at the song, it could be about being a victim. It could be about woe is me and how terrible life is. Instead, the song is not about wallowing in a bad day, but rather turning it around. Now, if a singer-songwriter can find secular motivation to turn things around in life, how much more can we, as redeemed, restored children of God, how much more can we overcome our bad days, take up our crosses, and follow Jesus in the sure and certain hope that in Him we will overcome? And no, it may not be today or tomorrow or any day in this life, though that often happens too. No, we know that we will overcome in the life to come, because Jesus Himself has guaranteed it. He's the same one who calls on us to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow Him. He also assures us, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen.